Father, we thank you again for another opportunity to share the word of God. We pray and thank you for Rancho Church. Thank you for your blessing here. Thank you for church growth. Thank you for establishment. Thank you that the seed that you have planted here will grow. It will become a tree. The birds of the air will come and take shelter in it. We declare it, we prophesy it, we confess it, and we believe it in the name of Jesus. Bless our time in your word this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Now, the chapter begins, you know, it says, human beings long to create superhuman characters who never make mistakes, never fail, and never die. Hey, it's very wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. It is this inward desire, you know, in all men that has created characters like James Bond. That's in his brother. Yeah. And Rambo and Superman and Demolition Man and Batman and Spider-Man and such heroes. Do you see? Yeah. I mean, you never watch a movie and see any of these people die. They just overcome everything. They just overcome everything. I think that they are more, those characters are more consistent with the scripture that says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh. It looks like the life those characters live is the Christian life, which is that many are the afflictions and many are the adversaries, but they overcome all of them. You see, one person, when you watch Chinese movies, they bring these kung fu trainees. And you see a whole lot of them against one man. Hey! He'll kick some, he'll slice some, you know, he'll kill some, throw some away, you know, until you have the last two left and then they run. That is the Christian life, you know. That is what it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Amen. But that is not the case with our calling. Right. It says, but the fact that you are called, okay, will not turn you into any of these superhuman characters. Your calling is simply God showing mercy and leniency to you. Apart from this, your calling is limited. You have received only a measure of the Spirit. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Hallelujah. So, the gift of Christ is given in measures. Isn't it? And depending on what measure has been given you, you are given grace to match the measure. You are given grace to be able to support that measure. Grace to carry the gift of God in you. Hallelujah. It's almost like, depending on how many passengers you have been assigned to carry, you are given a certain vehicle that can contain them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, if you have been asked to carry maybe three or four people, then you know that Brother Paul's car is just going to do. Isn't it? Yeah. But if you've been assigned like seven people or eight people, then you start walking towards my wife. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So depending on the measure of the gift that has been given you, grace is the vehicle that carries and supports the gift. Do you see? Grace is the container that houses the gift. You move the gift around, you transport it around, and you work with it, and it is enabled by the grace that is carrying it. Do you see what I'm saying? So the amount of grace you have is determined by the size of your gift or the measure of the gift that God has given you. Amen. Right. Now, your calling gives you only a measure of the Spirit. And there are several other measures you did not receive. You see? So there are several other measures of the gift that you didn't receive. That means there are other or several other gifts that you lack. What do you think? Yeah. What you can do is not the only thing there is to do. What you can do or what you do well is not the only thing that can be done or that is expected to be done. Remember, he said many are called. Do you see? So you are not the only called one. Do you see? And your gift and calling is not the only necessary one. What do you think? Yeah. So it means there are several other gifts that you lack. Hallelujah. And that reality will obviously make you need others. What do you think? Yeah. Your lack of other graces will always limit you in the ministry. Your lack of other gifts will prevent you from being successful in certain fields. God has reserved those fields of ministry for others. This is the reality, or is a reality we must accept. That is why many great men of God are unbelievably deficient in certain areas. Do you see that this is why some great men of God who are gifted in the miracle ministry flounder when it comes to administration and government? You see, because they have a gift in one area. Do you see what I'm saying? It is because they have just a measure of the Spirit. This fact alone forces ministers to be humble in spite of how greatly they are gifted. Notice how these scriptures emphasize the reality of us receiving just a portion and not the whole thing. Only Christ received the full measure of the Spirit. Okay? John 3:34 says, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Hallelujah. It says, "He whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." That means anything Christ said was from God, because he didn't have the Spirit in part. You see what I'm saying? He was full of the Spirit. Amen. And that is how God did not give the Spirit by measure. They didn't measure it to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, like the difference between my mother and my grandmother when it came to bread was that my mother gave it by measure, but my grandmother without measure. Grandmothers are just fantastic. You get it? My grandmother, as long as your mouth was open, she would fill it. Right? But my mother gave it by measures. She would say to you, "Why? Are you for sale?" Clear out. So are you going to eat all this by yourself? What is wrong with you? Go to bed. But my grandmother would say, "Oh, you're not full. Come on, come on, come on." You know, it's very powerful. I don't know. I think all grandmothers become like that, isn't it? I think after going through life 50, 60, 70 years, you say, "What is bread?" They should eat and be happy. Wow. It's beautiful. Amen. So, look at it, John chapter 1. Look at all these scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Okay? Of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. So it's like, out of his fullness, we have received. Do you see? So the fullness is in him. And then we have a part out of that. What do you think? Then the next verse, Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Do you see the thing? But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means do not overestimate yourself. It says you must not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Hallelujah. You must not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. That means you must not take on territory that does not belong to you. Gifting territory. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But rather you should think soberly according as God has dealt to every man. So he says, think in consistence with how much gifting God has given you. That means recognize your limitations. Recognize that my gift goes from here and ends right here. You see what I'm saying? Right. Then, the next verse, Ephesians 4:13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. It says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until we all come together, you know, this is the passage that is talking. He gives some apostles. Remember that verse? He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, and so on, for the perfecting of the saints. Do you see? Until we all come to the fullness or the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So that means that all of our gifts put together represents the fullness of the stature of Christ. Do you see? But no one person can bear it all. That is why he puts some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors, all of them working to perfect the saints. So that until we all get to the unity of the faith, we put the pieces together, the pieces of giftings together to form one piece that represents the complete fullness of the stature of Christ. Hallelujah. Stature means size. Do you get it? So the complete shape and form of Christ, what Christ looks like. When we put all our gifts together, we are supposed to experience who Christ really is. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we are not supposed to be fighting because our gifts are different. Do you see what I'm saying? Rather, we all have a piece of the stature of Christ. Do you get it? And we are supposed to be working together. You know, when you read on, it says the body is fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. Do you see? So that is how it's supposed to be. Amen. Then the last verse says, but all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay. So this is talking about the gifts, ministry gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he's saying that all these gifts are powered by the same Spirit. Do you see? They are all, the Holy Spirit is behind all of them, and he's dividing to every man severally as he will. So he allows one person to operate this gift, and another person to operate this gift, and another person to operate this gift, but he is the man, or he is the person behind it all. What do you think? Right. So that is the first thing we need to understand clearly, that our gifts have limitations. We only have a measure of a call. Can I have an amen? Amen. Number two, only Christ has the fullness of the call. Okay, so we mentioned that already. For in him dwelleth the fullness of God, of the Godhead bodily. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means in him, that is in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. That means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, is he okay? Wendy, it's a stage. It's a stage. It will pass, okay? Yeah, yes. Don't worry about it. It's a stage. It will pass. Amen. Yeah, we all cried in church. We all, didn't we do all those things? Yeah. So it is well. All right, just press on. Keep serving the Lord with your children. It's going to help us. Amen. Right. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means in a bodily form. So when you see him, the Godhead is represented in him in a bodily form. Isn't it? Right. So if you want to see the fullness of the call, you must look at Christ. Since only Christ has the ultimate calling. This is a very important truth for us to grasp. You must make Christ your best example of a shepherd, of a teacher, of an evangelist, a prophet, and an apostle for that matter. Hallelujah. Constantly looking at Christ will cause you to move much higher than you would have been. Unfortunately, many of us look at men, you know. Many of us look at men we esteem as mentors and assume that they are the best example of ministry. I often have this difficulty of seeing people as having only a measure. I often cannot imagine anything better than what I see. But I have had to accept the fact that even the most anointed men of God are only a measure of what they could be. Every one of us is only a fraction of what we could be if we had the full measure of the gift. It is Christ who had the Spirit without measure and therefore is the fullest and best example of ministry. Can I have an amen? Amen. This is an important reality we must accept, that the one we are following really is Christ, not a person. Hallelujah. That God gives us people to help us. God gives us people to lead us. But that is not a statement of perfection in the people. He's not saying that his gifts are perfected or those people carry the fullness of the expression of God. No. Only Jesus is a best example of all the gifts put together. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why you must read about Christ. Anybody who is serious about being used by God must read and be familiar with the ministry of Jesus Christ. Learn it first from Christ and then find it illustrated in a man of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You learn it first from Christ and then you look for an illustration in a man of God. So a man of God simply illustrates. It's like reading something, a theory from a textbook. Do you see? And then looking around the earth or around the world for examples of illustrations of that theory. Hallelujah. So men of God simply illustrate what we find in Christ in today's world. Hallelujah. Right. Now, number three, you must not look to any man as the ultimate minister. You must not look to any man as the ultimate minister. The ultimate pastor is the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. The ultimate teacher is Jesus Christ. The ultimate evangelist was the Lord who came to seek and to save the lost. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the ultimate evangelist. The ultimate prophet was Jesus, The prophet whose words never failed. The ultimate apostle was Jesus, who was sent by God as the savior of the world. An apostle means one who is sent. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the author. I mean, before we talk about any type of apostle Joel and all these type of all these type of prophets who have apostles who have come sent from where to where? Talk about someone being sent from heaven to the earth. Now that is sending. From sitting on a throne at the right hand side of God to come in to walk down the streets of humans whom you have made. From having angels and hundreds and thousands of angels at your disposal to coming down to subject yourself to the arrest and handcuffs of human beings. Talk about sending. That is real apostolic work. Someone who has come from a very far place to come and introduce to people something that is otherwise alien to them. Hallelujah. He's the best example of an apostle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a good place to put your hands together for Jesus Christ. Amen. So number four, you must recognize the limitations of people you look up to without despising them. Amen. You must recognize the limitations of people you look up to without despising them. Inasmuch as you are to see that people are limited, you must not despise them for their limitations. It is important not to idolize anyone, but it is also important not to despise them. Most people despise and criticize men of God because they see the non-gifted raw aspects of these men. Indeed, it is very easy to despise a man of God. In one field, he looks invincible, yet in another, he seems to be almost an imbecile. Learn to recognize the grace of God. Seeing the weakness of someone who is called should make you appreciate the grace of God even more. Hallelujah. Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils. For why should he be esteemed? Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 22. Amen. So now this is where we start to tie it all together. Isn't it? That human beings only carry a measure of the gift, which means their gifts are not limitless. Do you see what I'm saying? Only Pastor Charles has an album called Limitless. You see? And even he, it is just his album that is limitless. Do you see what I'm saying? And even the album that says it's limitless does not have limitless songs. You see the thing? The songs only go up to about 12 or so, and the album is finished. So even the limitless album is limited. How much more a man of God who does not go by the title Limitless? Okay? So we're saying that people are limited. People who minister to you, people whom God uses to bless you, they are limited. Hallelujah. And that should be an encouragement for you, because it means that the weaknesses you have and the reasons for disqualifying yourself, all the reasons you have for thinking that God would prefer someone else to you, actually do not stand in his way for choosing you. That God is used to using limited people. Hallelujah. Because after all, it is only a small part of you he needs. I mean, a small part of the gift, a measure of the gift is what he's going to give you. Do you see what I'm saying? A small part of the entire gift is what he's going to give you. He's not going to, you are not about to carry his fullness. So your imperfection sometimes does not stop him. Because that's not what he's looking for. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that you are full of other things, like you're trying to catch a ride. You see Brother Paul's car coming by, and then you start to flag him, and he says, no, he can't stop. He can't stop because there's another person in the car. And you're thinking, look, it's just me. You see, I'm just one. So I don't need an empty car to carry me. Do you understand? I just need a spot, because after all, it's just one person. I'm just adding one person. Do you see what I'm saying? So God just needs a spot. He just needs a spot. That is why your limitations don't limit him. Hallelujah. That is why God is still interested in you, even though you have many problems. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. We read these fantastic, very encouraging words. He says, we have this treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, we have this treasure. Is the scripture coming? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. This is chapter 7, but chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Do you have that in your Bible? It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Wow. So it's on purpose. It's on purpose. It's on purpose that God chooses earthen vessels. Earthen vessels means breakable vessels. Means vessels that can let you down. Are you following what I'm saying? Means vessels that can let you down. It means vessels that can disappoint you. It means vessels that do not have unlimited capacity to withstand pressure. Do you see? It means vessels that can break when you drop them. Vessels that require careful handling. Otherwise, they will just make a mess of everything. Hallelujah. All of us are like that. All of us are earthen vessels. And from day one, when God was choosing us, he knew what he was getting. Are you getting what I'm saying? He knew what he was getting. Now, you and I buy breakable things knowing what we are getting. And so right from the shop, we handle them with care. Right from the shop. Picking it from the shelf. Even there are some things that don't make it even into our car. You see, it's just that in America, you have all these fantastic shops. You can just carry the thing and it breaks and you just walk away and you just pick the next one as though you had nothing to do with this one. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But there are some things that are so fragile, you know, they don't even make it off the shelf. Between the shelf and the teller, is that the name? The people who, cashier. Between the shelf and the cashier, a lot of things don't even make it there. And you go and get another one, isn't it? Yeah. Once you're in the shop, you go get another one. Yeah. Even in the car park. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So we are spoiled here. You take it home and you bring it back. Hallelujah. So you can imagine that right from the shop, even you start handling the thing with some kind of care. Because you are aware of its limitations. But the limitations have never stopped you from taking it home. You still take it home. You still use it. And you try to use it. And you try to use it as much as you can. In fact, sometimes that particular property of the thing, that characteristic of the thing, the fact that it's breakable, makes you interested in it. That's the reason why you want it. You see, you take someone who is buying, let's say, glasses, drinking glasses. Usually, they know they are very breakable. But that's why they want them, because they have plastic options which don't break. Do you see what? If you don't ever want to break a glass, just buy cups. They have plastic cups But you see people skipping the plastic cups and going to buy glasses that cost more than the plastic cups. Because that's what you want. You want a glass. It serves your purpose better, even though it is highly fragile and breakable. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you should not be surprised that God still uses human beings. You shouldn't be surprised that God uses people who can disappoint, people who can let you down, people who can do something that you feel or did not expect for them to do. Do you see what I'm saying? It's because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The reason why the vessels don't seem to matter a whole lot is because it is the treasure we're after. Is it not the case?
Yeah.
It is the treasure we're after. The reason is it is the treasure, the gift. You see, the gift, the calling, what you can do, the part of you that God is using, that is what we are after. You know, the vessel is just a way of serving it and a way of carrying it around. But it's really the treasure. So the earthenness, if you like, of the vessel does not discount the value of the treasure that is in it. What do you think? It doesn't discount the value of the treasure that is in it. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's no way you can experience the treasure unless you treat the vessel nicely. Do you understand? Unless you treat the... You see, if I gave you, let's say, a bottle of Coke in one of those glass Coke bottles. See, what I'm giving you is what is inside. But to experience what is inside, you need to be careful with that glass. You see what I'm saying? You really need to be careful. In fact, the way you treat that glass has everything to do with whether or not you get to experience the Coke in it or not. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you ask, what is the glass worth? Nothing. Honestly, when you take the Coke out, the glass is worth where? The garbage is where it goes. It goes in the garbage. In some places, they recycle it and they say that for your trouble, they give you 5 cents. 5 cents. What are you going to do with 5 cents? So the value, the monetary value of those vessels is actually 5 cents. But that value, when the treasure enters it, you don't buy it for 5 cents. Are you getting what I'm saying? The treasure adds value to the vessel. That is the reason why you cannot despise the vessel. That's the reason why you cannot despise the vessel. You have to value and treasure the vessel because, you know, the treasure, once it goes into that vessel, steps up the value immediately. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see two Coke bottles. One of them is so... Yesterday we were in a place and one brother... A certain brother was feeling thirsty. You see what I'm saying? And the brother went to a certain place and he said, look, can I buy a bottle of water? When they gave the brother the price of the bottle of water, he said, what? Water too? We're going to pay this much for it? Then the brother saw some milkshake. And the brother felt that, listen, the water was going to be $3. And he said, no, I can't afford $3 for water. So he asked the guys, what about the milkshake? And the people said, the milkshake is $8. He said, I can afford that one. I can afford that one. So we were laughing at the brother that, hey, you found $3 too expensive and $8 looked cheaper. Do you see? But you see, it is because of what is going inside the vessel. It is the content. Yeah. When the content, you know, increased in value, he was prepared to pay $8 for it. But when the content was just water, He said, $3? No way. Hallelujah. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you see that you have two bottles. One of them is empty and it's worth 5 cents. Then you put the Coke in it. Suddenly you can sell it for $3 because of the value that is added by the treasure. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm explaining? So we have the treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Hallelujah. So that it is never the vessel that is valuable, but it is the treasure in the vessel that makes it valuable. I think you understand that. What do you think? Is it a good idea? All right. Number 5. You must recognize your own limitations in ministry. You know, you must recognize your own limitations. Hallelujah. You must recognize your own limitations in ministry. Unfortunately, recognizing your own limitations can be extremely difficult. People rarely accept that they cannot do certain things. People rarely accept criticisms about their person or their ability. This is proved by Proverbs 21 and 2, which says, every man's way is right in his own eyes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. Huh? But perhaps the hallmark of the greatest men of God is the ability to see where the gift ends and the natural takes over. The Apostle Paul knew when he was outside the grace and the revelation. He often stated when he was speaking his own mind and when he was sharing from the gift he had received. For example, Paul said, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. I have no commandment of the Lord. I don't know what God thinks about virgins. Do you see? Yet I give my judgment, you know, as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Do you see? So even though I don't know what the Lord has to say and I'm not sure what God's position is on this matter, he said, I have an opinion. I have an opinion as one who has received mercy from God, you know, as one who has been washed by the blood, as one who has a little experience, I can say what I think. Hallelujah. And so that is Apostle Paul, for example, acknowledging. Now, this is rare. Most prophets want to extend their powers and become like supermen and almighty magicians. But we are limited and we are not magicians. Even though you are called, you will be limited and time will prove it to you. Hallelujah. So you see Paul saying clearly that, look, this is not me. Amen. This is what I think. This is my opinion. And there's nothing wrong with it. You see, when you have also become a carrier of God's gift on you influences your thinking and influences your thinking. And over time, you start to think in consistency with God's gift in you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You start to think in consistency with God's gift in you. And it's not strange, you know, because when you keep using something to do anything, you always leave a residue of yourself in that thing, isn't it? One day, Bishop was saying that when you take oil and you pour it out, no matter what you do to the bottle, and you can just shake it and swing it and make sure the last drop is out. But still, there is some oil that remains in the bottle. That's for the bottle. do you get it? That's for the bottle. When you put the bottle back down and you leave it for some time and give it time to settle, you're going to see that the bottle actually retains quite a bit of oil. Sometimes painfully so, but it's in there. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes when you try to pour that collection out, you know, it just can't make it from the bottom to the tip, isn't it? It can't make it. The journey is too far, you see. And you have to give up that. As for this remaining oil, it is not for you. It is for the bottle. Hallelujah. So that is how it is. When God's gift is on someone, God's gift remains on the person. And there's a bit of the gift, a residue of the gift, that actually remains on you. Hallelujah. And so you be find out, let's say God has given you a gift of wisdom or is using you to share the word and so on. In time, you start to think in accordance with the word of God. And you find that a lot of things you say are actually right. You understand? But it's not the same as saying that you can never be wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not the same as saying that you can never be wrong. So we need to know the difference. What do you think? Right. Number six, you must be humble. You must be humble. We're almost done. You must be humble because you do not have it all. It is wonderful to see people so gifted in one area and almost dim-witted in another. I tell you, it's a total word. Right? Christ is the only one who receives the anointing without measure and is the only one who needs no inputs from anyone. Okay? Christ is the only one who needs no inputs from anyone. All of us have received a measure and do not have anything in full. This makes us need others in order to be complete. It also makes us have to relate with others whom we have or whom we may have otherwise despised. This is part of God's wonderful plan to make us humble children, or the humble children we must be. Hallelujah. You know, that God has put a piece in you that works very well with a piece that is in another person. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. God has given you something that makes you depend on another person. And the world itself is like that. Human beings also create like that. Human beings never make anything that is self-sustained and self-sustaining and self-sufficient. You think of all the creations, everything that is made by human beings has to borrow pieces from someplace. You know, one person makes this, another person makes. Without his gift and what he makes, what you make can never come into existence. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Even those who make cars don't make fuel for it. Can you imagine something that is so heavily dependent on fuel, yet you can't make the fuel? Another person who doesn't make cars makes the fuel. And if he makes the fuel and you don't make your car, he would have to drink it himself. Do you see what I'm saying? He will have to drink all that fuel himself. I mean, he has absolutely no use. In fact, his whole business arises out of your business. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is how God has made it. When you read the scriptures, you see that God has created a certain interdependence, do you see, of gifts. That gifts depend on one another. Hallelujah. So you see in Hebrews chapter 11, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. Perhaps if we read 30 from 39. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39 and go to 40. He says, okay, it's all right. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Verse 39. Now, it says, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, who are these people? This is Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter about faith. Do you see? And it says, all these people obtain a good report by faith. Do you see? Right. So they obtained a good report through faith, but they never received what was promised. Do you understand? The next verse says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, God extended the picture to include us. Do you understand? So that it is our existence that makes the things they believed sensible. Do you understand? So they, without us, are not made perfect. Do you understand? That is how come they had faith and believed, but they didn't see the promise in that time. Do you understand? These are people who had faith about the Messiah and so on and so forth, but it never happened in their time. You see, but we get to experience that better part of it. Do you see? And now that we are experiencing it, it makes their faith make sense. So God is a specialist at dividing the thing. You see, such that, you know, you need another person and what they have for yours to make sense. I think you understand what I'm explaining. Yeah. God having provided some better thing for us. Do you see? That they without us should not be made perfect. So they never fulfilled the complete picture. And they died in faith. They died still believing that the things they had not experienced, the things they had believed and had claimed, which had not been manifest, those things are still true. Do you understand? Because the rest of the picture is actually supplied by us. You see, the rest of the picture, and now that we are around, we are the ones who have experienced salvation through the blood of Jesus. We are the ones who are living in the end time. And suddenly, the things we are required to do, even what they did, becomes an example for us. So the things we are required to do, you know, makes their living and their lives, it makes sense. I think you understand that point. Hallelujah. So they without us are not made perfect. And we have to be humble because we do not have it all. Hallelujah. All of us need another person. Amen. We all are like body parts. Hallelujah. Look at number 7. Your limitations in ministry are overcome by recognizing the contribution of others to your life. That means you will overcome the limitations by recognizing what others contribute to your life. Hallelujah. Amen. There will be other people who know more about certain areas of ministry. It is important that you humble yourself to receive God's blessings from them. Learn from pastors with bigger churches. Learn from pastors with smaller churches. God's power is real. And he will send people to help you become who you must become. Every joint will supply something until you have become what God has called you to be. Okay? And then Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every joint is supplying something that you need for your life and ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? So the whole body is fitly joined together, you know, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. That means if every part works well, when you see a human being who is well, do you know what is going on? It is he's experiencing the effectual working in the measure of every part of his body. Okay? When someone is sick, it means this is not happening. They are not experiencing effectual working in the measure of every part of their body. That's the definition of sickness. So you see, when someone is not feeling well, even the fact that they can carry themselves to hospital means that certain parts are working. Do you understand? But those parts that are working are being let down by one part which is not working. Do you see what I'm saying? That one part that is not working is slowing the whole system down. It's even redirecting the movement that somebody who should have been going in this direction to go and earn an income is going in that direction to be admitted to hospital. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because they are not experiencing effectual working in the measure of every part. But when you experience effectual working in the measure of every part, do you see? Then the Bible says that you are actually compacted and fit, you know, by that which every joint supplieth, isn't it? And the result of that is increase. It makes increase of the body to the edifying or building up of itself in love. Hallelujah. So the body of Christ, even our church, will grow depending on everybody supplying their parts. Everyone, every joint. A joint is a joint. A joint is anyone who is a part of it. Hallelujah. So if you have people who are a part of it, if you have joints that are not supplying anything, do you see? You have joints that are not supplying, or even if they are supplying, they are not supplying effectually. They are not doing the thing as well as they could. Then you find the body is suffering. Isn't it? When you go to many churches, you see all the work is done by a handful of people. Do you see? There are many people who are joints, but they don't supply what they can supply. Or when they supply, it's a scanty supply. You see, it's not effectual working in the measure of every part. Do you get it? And therefore, it does not make for increase of the body. Isn't it? Yeah. When you see someone who has stunted growth, the person is not growing, doesn't mean their eyes can't see. Their eyes are seeing as well as they could see. But some other part of the body is letting them down. The mouth is working, you see, but some other part of the body, maybe there's a part that is supposed to be digesting something and it's not digesting it. There's a part that's supposed to be doing something and it's not doing it, even though God has assigned it that part. Do you get it? So you see, the body is suffering. No matter how much food it eats, it can't seem to grow. It can't seem to multiply. Do you see? Because there is a part that is not working effectually. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm praying that whatever your gift is, or that you will start to pray and ask God to show you what gift you have and what and how you can contribute effectively to making increase of the body. What do you think? It's a very important thing. Whatever part you play, you need to play it well. Amen. Everybody will have a part to play. Everybody has something they can contribute. And whatever your contribution is, you have to do it well. Amen. Amen. You have to contribute and do it well so that God's body will experience increase. And the church is going to grow to glorify God. Can I have an amen? Well, stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Wow. It's a blessing, isn't it? Wow. Amen. Just bow your heads, everybody, and just pray for just a minute. Just pray before we close and say, Lord, please help me. Say, Lord, please help me. I want you to help me because I realize that you have given me gifts and abilities that are supposed, if they work effectually, if they work as they should, they are supposed to help make increase of the body. They are supposed to help make increase of the body. They are supposed to help make the church grow. That if I'm to walk in my calling, this church will benefit. If I'm to do what you have called me to do, if I'm to exercise the full measure of the gifts that you have given to me, what you have given to me, if I'm to press fully into it for the benefit of the church, this body will experience growth. But what often happens is we hold back We hold back. People who can do stuff don't do it. We hold back. We hold back and watch the body starve. Watch the body suffer. Watch the body remain stunted. Because even though others are contributing their max, even though other body parts are contributing their maximum, you are not contributing your part. And that makes the body lack. But today God is speaking to us and God is saying, what I gave you for a purpose. And this body is relying on you to supply that. You are a joint, and that's what you supply. And the body is counting on you to supply that to it. And if you do not supply it, the body will not experience that particular gift. So what is that gift? What is that gift? Rise up and perform that gift. Be determined to rise up and say, Lord, I will not hold back anymore. I'm making my gift available as a joint to the rest of the body. And I'm going to work my gift effectually for the making of increase in this body, in the name of Jesus. Father, we are praying for you to help us identify those gifts and abilities you have given us. Some have been given organizational ability. Some are good with people handling. Some are great in prayer. Some are great with music. Some are great in arranging and setting up things. So many different gifts and abilities that you have given to us. Even some are great looking after children. But different gifts that you have given to us. And we pray that none of us will hold back today in the name of Jesus. That our gifts will be supercharged to serve the body. That our gifts, our callings, the things you have given us, the talents, the abilities you have given us, those abilities, Lord, will be supercharged by you. That they will work to their maximum in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.